This is The Guardian.
Just a warning before we begin. This episode contains references to rape and sexual assault. Please listen with care. I'm Noor Haider, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is The Full Story.
Call the matter for judgment, please.
NSD 103 of 2023, Bruce Lerman and Network 10 Proprietary Limited, for judgment.
The judgment I'm about to deliver is 324 pages long. It will be published on the Federal Court website.
A sprawling legal saga which has gripped the nation and dominated headlines has come to a close. In a live summary judgment in the defamation case brought by Bruce Lerman against Network 10 and Lisa Wilkinson, Justice Michael Lee said that on the balance of probabilities, Lerman raped Brittany Higgins in Parliament House.
Mr. Lerman raped Miss Higgins. In his pursuit of gratification, he did not care one way or the other whether Miss Higgins understood or agreed to what was going on.
And that the former Liberal staffer was not defamed when Higgins claimed she was raped on a couch in Parliament House in an interview on Network 10's flagship current affairs program, The Project. Lerman was not named as the alleged rapist at the centre of the allegation, but he claimed he was identifiable. In a criminal trial, Lerman pleaded not guilty to one charge of sexual intercourse without consent and denied that any sexual activity occurred. But that trial was aborted. In December 2022, prosecutors dropped the charges, saying a retrial would pose an unacceptable risk to Brittany Higgins' health. Lerman then brought the defamation case against Network 10.
Having escaped the lion's den, Mr. Lerman made the mistake of coming back for his hat.
What's your response to being a rapist? Mr. Lerman, you took on the law, did you win?
And on Monday, after 5 weeks of dramatic evidence, Justice Lee found that on the balance of probabilities, Bruce Lerman raped Brittany Higgins.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So close to 50,000 people, Amanda, tuned in to watch Justice Lee deliver his judgment. And it took him 2 hours to say that even though he wasn't in the room that night in 2019, he believed that Bruce Lerman raped Brittany Higgins on the balance of probabilities. You've been covering this case for a long time. What was it like to hear Justice Lee hand down his judgment?
He read his summary judgment over about 2.5 hours. It seemed to take forever. And then at different times, we didn't know which way he'd go.
Amanda Mead is Guardian Australia's media correspondent.
So we were really on the edge of our seats.
Further and critically, upon a review of the whole of my findings on the evidence, even taking all these other possibilities of what.
So when he finally said he believed that Mr. Lerman raped Ms. Higgins, it was a really significant moment.
Mr. Lerman raped Ms. Higgins. I hasten to stress this is a finding on the balance of probabilities. This finding should not be misconstrued or mischaracterised as a finding that I can.
Justice Lee stressed that this is a civil finding and not a criminal finding. So when I say rape, I mean on the balance of probabilities, not beyond reasonable doubt.
As I've explained, there's a substantive difference between the criminal standard of proof and the civil standard of proof. And
Justice Lee described both Bruce Lohmann and Brittany Higgins as unreliable historians. What did he say about Lohmann's character?
Well, interestingly, he said he wasn't a compulsive liar, but then he went on to say he pretty much was, because he said he wouldn't believe anything that he said unless it was corroborated.
To remark that Mr. Lohmann is a poor witness is an exercise in understatement. As I'll explain, his attachment to the truth was a tenuous one, informed not by faithfulness to his affirmation, but by fashioning his responses in what he perceived to be his forensic interests.
And everything that Lohmann said about what took place inside the ministerial suite was discounted.
The judge also described Brittany Higgins as a complex witness. What did he say about her?
It was really interesting what he said about her, because he compared her account of the rape in 2019 to what she said in 2021. And he said he preferred her account in 2019, her contemporaneous account. Despite the arguments from Bruce Lohmann's lawyers that tried to cast doubt on her credibility because of some inconsistencies in her accounts.
There is a lack of nuance and superficiality of dismissing a witness as always untruthful or unreliable just because aspects, even important aspects of their evidence, fall into that description. Moreover, given the potential agreed effects of trauma, I do not consider any of this 2019 conduct as necessarily inconsistent with a victim of sexual assault seeking to process what had occurred, working her way through feelings of confusion, questioning her conduct, considering what she should do, and reflecting on how people would perceive her if she made a complaint.
He also raised the issue of a photograph of a bruise. He didn't believe, or he wasn't satisfied, that the bruise on her leg really was what she purported it to be, which was from the night.
As to the bruise, I fell well short of being satisfied that Mr. Lohmann placed his leg against either of Ms. Higgins' legs so forcibly as to cause a large bruise, particularly given my considerable doubts about the authenticity of the bruise photograph.
He also was unimpressed by the fact that she had deleted the contents of her phone and that some of it wasn't available in the cloud. But when it came down to her account of the rape, he actually believed her because he found her account in the witness box very compelling.
But in the end, it comes down to my assessment of whether Ms. Higgins was telling the truth in the witness box when she gave this evidence as to her state of mind, having paid close attention to not only what was said, but her manner of saying it.
Justice Lee has upheld the substantial truth defence put forward by 10. How did he get to that position?
So Justice Lee found that Brittany Higgins was raped. But to get to that point, he had to establish three things. The first was that sexual intercourse took place. The second was that Brittany did not consent. Interestingly, he rejected her evidence that she said no repeatedly when Lohmann was on top of her. However, he still accepted that she was not consenting.
And I've reached a state of actual persuasion on the balance of probabilities that Miss Higgins, A, was not fully aware of her surroundings when sexual intercourse commenced, and B, did not consent to intercourse when she became aware Miss Lohmann was on top of her.
He referenced the extreme level of intoxication and that she just wasn't capable of consenting.
Her evidence that she was not fully aware of her surroundings, but then suddenly became aware of Mr. Lohmann on top of her, at which time he was performing the sexual act, when given orally before me, struck me forcibly as being credible and having the ring of truth.
And then he moved on to, was Bruce Lohmann aware that she was intoxicated and not consenting?
In summary, I consider it more likely than not, in those early hours, after a long night of conviviality and drinking, and having successfully brought Ms. Higgins back to a secluded place, Mr. Lohmann was hell-bent on having sex with a woman he A, found sexually attractive, B, had been mutually passionately kissing and touching, C, had encouraged to drink, and D, knew had reduced inhibitions because she was very drunk. In his pursuit of gratification, he did not care one way or the other whether Miss Higgins understood or agreed to what was going on. Because of what I find to be Mr. Lohmann's state of mind of non-advertent recklessness, the knowledge element, has been made out.
So, Amanda, what evidence did Justice Lee rely on to come to that conclusion?
Well, again, he relied on the contemporaneous evidence around what happened. When Justice Lee was discussing why they went to Parliament House and who he believed, it was quite significant that he said that Higgins was aware that Lerman was her superior and that he was being nice to her, and perhaps she felt that she couldn't say no to getting a lift with him that night.
She was in a very different and potentially difficult position. She was working in a professional office where she correctly perceived Mr. Lerman as having greater power, and in fact, he had been dealing with her as a subordinate.
He also found it quite compelling that the female security guard came in to check on Brittany, and she was naked or near naked on the couch, and that she was so drunk that she couldn't speak, and she just turned over into a fetal position and went back to sleep. And powerfully, he countered the evidence of Brittany's father during the trial, in which he said that she had told him that she was raped.
One wonders why a daughter would say such a thing to a clearly loving father, absent a genuine belief that sexual assault had taken place.
We'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is a case with many high-profile names, but there is one lesser-known woman whose evidence played a pivotal role in the judge's decision. Her name is Fiona Brown. Tell us about her and why her evidence held such importance.
Fiona Brown was the chief of staff in Senator Reynolds' office, and she was the one who first interviewed both Bruce Lerman and Brittany Higgins.
As I have repeatedly noted, he first represented to Ms. Brown. He did not access any documents. He came back to drink whiskey, and he had a whiskey with Ms. Higgins.
Justice Lee preferred Brown's account of those meetings to the account of both Lerman and Higgins.
All in all, I accept the submission made by Network 10 that Mr. Lerman's evidence about writing on question time folders was a transparent lie, and yet it remains the only explanation Mr. Lerman has offered to the court for his presence in the ministerial suite for 40 minutes on 23 March 2019.
Amanda, this was a win for Network 10 and for Lisa Wilkinson, but they didn't come out unscathed. What did Justice Lee say about their conduct?
Lisa spoke outside of court and she focused on the fact that they had won. But of course, she didn't mention all the criticism of their journalism.
The federal court has found that I published a true story about a rape in a federal minister's office at Parliament House in March of 2019. I sincerely hope that this judgment gives strength to women around the country.
One point that he made was that they didn't make enough of an attempt to contact Bruce Lerman before the broadcast, and that they tried to sort of keep things quiet so that they wouldn't lose the story, which he thought was unfair. And he said that Lerman wasn't a hermit, I think was the word he used. He also pointed out the contradiction between Lisa Wilkinson winning a Logie, saying it was the greatest story of her life and, you know, owning it, but then also saying in court that she, as the presenter and the interviewer, wasn't responsible for all the research and for the, you know, contacting Lerman and for the final script and the promos. She was trying to distance herself from 10 in the end, even though she'd been claiming the story as her own when she won a Logie.
Bruce Lerman was also in court. Did he make any remarks?
Mr. Lerman, what's your response to being a rapist?
No, he didn't. Inside court, he just looked down. He didn't respond at all. And then afterwards, he just ran out. One of the paparazzi did get some footage of him driving out of the car park, but so far he said nothing.
Mr. Lerman, you took on the law. Did you win?
Have we heard from Brittany Higgins?
As of Monday afternoon, we still hadn't heard from Brittany Higgins.
This is a story, Amanda, that has been in the headlines for many years. It shaped political debate. Is this the end?
Many people would hope this was the end. It really has dragged on, but I suppose there's always the possibility of an appeal. Lerman also has another charges to face in Queensland, and there are various other defamation cases that are still to run. So I don't think it's the end. And in fact, we'll be back in court on the 22nd of this month to discuss costs.
It's been a long day, Amanda. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
If you or anyone you know needs help, support is available at the National Sexual Assault Counselling Line 1-800-RESPECT or 1-800-737-732. You can also go to 1800respect.org.au to speak to a trained counsellor. There's a link on the full story page. We've also linked to Amanda's latest reporting on Monday's judgment. This episode was produced by Miles Herbert and Alison Chan. Sound design and mixing by Camilla Hannan. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. You can subscribe to or follow Full Story wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm Nord Haydad. Catch you next time.